Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. Tonight is destructive behavior. Another lesson on destructive behavior. This is lesson number 30. We're going to talk about the tongue and the misuse of the tongue. James chapter number 3. We'll call it gossip, but it's going to cover a whole lot more than that. James chapter 3, if you would stand with me, we're going to start with verse number 1. I'm going to read out loud and you can follow along silently. James chapter 3, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says this: My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. If you look back at me, the series has been destructive behavior. If you're listening to what is said about the tongue there, the tongue's pretty destructive. And the misuse of the tongue is our lesson. We're going to have part one this week and part two next week on the tongue, gossip, and the misuse of the tongue. And so let's pray together. Father, bless us as we study. Protect us from the evil one. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would give me the attention of the people. And Father, we so much want to be better Christians because we've come to church. Help our lives to be better. Help us, Father, that we would be better to you and better to people because we've been in your house. Now, bless us, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you still have your Bible open there, you might just leave it open to James chapter 3. I'm going to make some references to it and talk about it for just a little while. Did you know that there it says more in the Bible about the misuse of the tongue than it says about adultery? It says more in the Bible about the misuse of the tongue than it says about sodomy. The Bible has more teaching, and God does. There's more instruction about the tongue than there is on murder. God takes this thing of the misuse of the tongue. It's a very big thing. Well, of course, you're not going to go out and murder someone today. And if someone did, it's not an everyday occurrence that you hear of. But the misuse of the tongue, it's constant. It's constant. And what I want to do is I want to show you a little something about James chapter 3 real quick. I want you to notice that in verse number 2, God he's worried about offenses and us offending people. He said, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, what's he saying? He said, boy, there's a lot of offense that goes on. And I think God is concerned about our being offensive. And he makes a statement there in verse number 2. He said, if a man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. And when he's talking about being a perfect man, he's not talking about flawless or sinless. It means he's a complete man. In other words, he truly has it together. I'll tell you what, if you really would like the test of your character, it's can you control your mouth? That's a real test of your character. And if you want a shortcut to developing your character, if you can learn to control your mouth, the Bible says then you can control the rest of your body. And so often the lack of controlling the body started with the lack of the control of the mouth, because the body seems to follow the mouth and the mouth follows the mind or the heart. And so we see here in verse number 2 that God's concerned about our being offensive. Then in verse number 3, he says this, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." So now he's saying, you put a bit in the horse's mouth so you can control it. And again, he's going back to saying that great big animal his whole body can be controlled if you can control his mouth. And you and I, our whole little bodies can be controlled if we could just control our mouths. Look at verse number 5. In verse number 5 it says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, but boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." So here it says our tongue's little, but it creates big problems. And then God compares what the tongue does to fire. And this is a destructive fire, burning up and destroying things. In verse number 6, he says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." So here, now God even goes as far to say that the tongue is set on fire of hell. And that is very, very negative teaching. And God's saying it's just terrible what the tongue can do and how destructive someone's tongue can become. In verse number 7, so it speaks of the beasts and the birds, and it says they all seem, they figured out how to tame just about anything, but for some reason, mankind can't tame the tongue. And it's actually, the tongue is compared to a beast. And when we're talking about a beast, we're talking about something that is destructive. Then, if you will, in verse number 8, it concludes what we read tonight. It says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil." You remember, I taught on the subject of evil, and we talked about sin and evil, and now it's telling us that the tongue can be unruly, it becomes evil, and then it goes as far as to say it's full of deadly poison, where you hurt people and you destroy people by the misuse of the tongue. And so, God has a lot to say about it, has a lot to say about the tongue. Have you ever heard the statement? Let's see, brother. Where's Tom at? Tom, come up here. I'm gonna have you. Tom's gonna help me with an illustration in just a second. Have you ever heard someone say to someone, "Put a sock in it"? You ever heard that term? Back before they had a record player, it was called a gramophone, and actually you'd wind this thing up, and it worked off of gears and a winding, but it had a big kind of a horn type speaker, and they didn't have electricity for that record player. How many of you can picture what I'm describing to you? It's a record player, but there's no electricity, and they would wind it up. It had no volume control. Thomas Edison created it, and it went from being called a gramophone into be called a record player, and now you have stereos and all that stuff today. But there was no electricity, and there was no way that you could control the volume. And so the only way that they could figure out to control the volume is they would take a sock and stuff the sock into the speaker or the horn, and it would muffle the sound and reduce the volume. So did you all know that's where that term came from? Now that's where it came from. So back then, and in the 40s or so, that this gramophone would have been used. Then, if they wanted something to be quiet or if they wanted it to be silenced, everybody got used to saying, "Stick a sock in it." Well, if someone was talking and saying something they shouldn't say, or if someone was talking too loud, a parent or some leader would say, "Stick a sock in it." I'll show you what I mean. Tom, that's a brand new sock. And if Tom was gossiping, or if Tom was cussing or being loud and belligerent or something, Tabby could say, "Tom, stick a sock in it." If you just hold that right there like that. I thought about calling this lesson tonight, "Stick a Sock in It." I'm not going to. And Tom, I'm going to let you keep that sock, by the way. Oh, don't take it out yet. And I'll get you the other half of it later on. And I'm sure Tabby would like to have two of these socks around in case one happens to come up missing. Can I tell you what would help everybody if every once in a while you just stick a sock in it?
Yes, sir.
Just shut your mouth and you won't get yourself in trouble. The Bible is pretty clear. The tongue is full of evil, deadly poison compared to fire. Thank you, Tom. You can take your sock and you can do with it as you please. Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts. I ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious. And I even gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name or face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments. I ruin marriages. I end ministries set up by God. I ruin careers. I cause sleepless nights. I cause heartaches. I cause sickness and indigestion. I spawn the suspicious and generate grief. I make headlines, headaches, heartaches. I make innocent people cry in their pillow. My name hisses when it's spoken. Who am I? I'm gossip. I'm slander. You can trace many, if not most, relationship problems to the misuse of the tongue. The misuse of the tongue causes tragedy and disaster and destruction. James chapter 3 compares the tongue to the wild beast of the world. Wow. The Bible says that the devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Isn't it amazing? God compares the devil to an untamed beast, and then God turns around and compares the tongue of the human race to an untamed beast. I think it would be wise for all of us to realize the tongue can be very dangerous and it can be very, very destructive. I'm going to teach the first half of my lesson this week and then the last half next week. The whole lesson is about the tongue, or we'll just call it gossip, though it includes so many other things. I have a couple of books that I've written, one that's called Character and the other that's called More Character. In my very first book on character, I have a chapter about the control of the tongue, and in it, I believe that God says a shortcut to developing character is controlling the tongue. God said if you can control your tongue, you can control the rest of you. And so, if you'd really like to get yourself under control, let it be with your mouth. Every once in a while, just stick a sock in it. Think before you talk. Now, I'm going to give you some passages of Scripture. We're going to see the different ways that the tongue is misused, and let us all be better because we've been to church tonight. And this is the type thing that applies to everybody in one way or another, and it's the kind of teaching that affects us every day. Most of these things are things that we will come across or see on a regular basis among the human race. So let me just give you a handful of points as I teach about the misuse of the tongue as a destructive behavior. First of all, the lying tongue. The lying tongue. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 22, it says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." Now, I want you to understand, the word abomination, this is something that God hates, but God hates it intensely. I didn't say God hates you, but I said God hates lying lips. You say, well, what's the big deal? Why does God make such a big deal? Why would God hate intensely? Why would lying be an abomination? I'll tell you why. A lie is the opposite of the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, one reason why God hates lying is because Jesus is the truth, and lying is the exact opposite of Jesus. And so, a lying tongue here says it's an abomination to the Lord. We're talking about deceitfulness, half-truths, wrong exaggerating. And so, let me say to all the boys and girls in here, you should never lie. You shouldn't lie to your teacher. You shouldn't lie to your mom. You shouldn't lie to your dad. And all of us ought to learn to be truthful. The Christian life is not as difficult as what people want to make it out to be. You know, if we'd just tell the truth, that would make us in a minority in our country, but it would be a good minority. We are to be like Jesus, and Jesus is truth. And so, watch your tongue. Watch that you don't lie with your tongue. We call them little white lies. Lies are lies. There's a right and there's a wrong, and let's make sure that we're honest. So, a lying tongue, it's destructive. You heard it. God said, set on fire of hell, full of deadly poison. Not just poison, deadly poison. Something will be destroyed because of the misuse of the tongue. Number two, a flattering tongue. A flattering tongue. Let me read to you from Jude chapter 1, verse number 16. The Bible says, these are murmurs, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh with great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And see, those words, the great swelling words. Words are being inflated and they're not sincere. What is flattery? Flattery is insincere praise. I think it's kind of a lie covered in a bed of flowery words. Someone says something, but it's not true, but it is used to get the attention of the object. It is used somehow to win the object toward the one that's delivering the flattery. And so God says, their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Now, in Job chapter 32, verse 21 and 22, it says this, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles, in so doing my Maker would soon take me away. Now, here is someone saying, I shouldn't be flattering people. I shouldn't be using insincere praise with people. And it's talking about people in titles. And so that's talking about insincere compliments. And hey, listen, folks, it's just basically a lie that's wrapped up in a real, real pretty package. My mother told me, if you're not going to say anything good, maybe it's best you say nothing at all. Stick a sock in it. Now, you do not have to give a mistruth to someone. You don't have to say anything at all. If that's the best you can do, say nothing. I think a person who spends all their time flattering people is probably a person that truly has poor people skills. You say, why? Well, you lie in your praise to win people to yourself because your true qualities won't get it done. In other words, someone that goes around flattering people are trying to draw people toward them, but they're virtually lying to the person to draw that person toward them. And the person that is doing the flattering, they're not real good with people, because if they were, they wouldn't have to resort to flattery to get friends. They wouldn't have to resort to flattery to get people to come around them. So I would just say to you, watch that you're not guilty of flattering. Now, you say, well, how do you do it? I think proper praise is okay. If you want to praise someone, and might I recommend, if you're going to praise someone, that it be honest and that it be true, and that it be sincere. And the greatest way to praise someone is to find godly attributes in their life and praise them for living like God. That's what real praise is. Praise is finding the qualities of God in someone, and they get attention because they are living like God. But flattery is, it's just an expanded, it's an insincere praise. Okay? So, number one, watch your tongue, especially in regard to lying. God said the tongue is a deadly poison. Number two, watch the flattering tongue. Number three, watch the manipulating tongue. Manipulating tongue. I'm going to read to you from Judges chapter 16, verse number 15. And as I do, let me tell you, it's only one little passage of Scripture in a whole story. And the storyline is about Samson and Delilah. Delilah manipulates Samson. Delilah uses her tongue to draw Samson in to get what Delilah wants from the mighty Samson. Now let me read to you from Judges chapter 16, verse number 15. It says, "And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast told me wherein thy great strength lieth." She wanted to know what the secret to his strength was. And he was not telling her what that secret was. Now she begins, she's talking to him, and talking him into doing wrong. He was not to tell her the secret of his strength. She begins using love as a manipulatory connection with Samson. And in other words, she says, well, if you love me, you'll let me. If you'll love me, you'll tell me. Hey, every teenage girl in here, let me explain something. When a teenage boy says to you, if you love me, you'll let me touch you. If you love me, you'll let me have my way with you, he's wrong. If he loved you, he would not be asking for that before marriage. But he is using your desire, and what girl doesn't want to be loved? Love is an emotion. We like emotion. And so, if we're not careful, we want that emotion filled. So the tantalizing or the manipulating, using the emotion that we're hungry for, it's used as bait to get us to do something maybe that we should not do. So it's a manipulating tongue. Delilah manipulated Samson, enticing him, and she wanted something from him. She was offering herself to him to get what she ultimately wanted. Now listen, if life for you is all about manipulating people to get what you want, you're going to want to be very careful. Of course, that's stinginess. And stinginess is wrong. And manipulation, it's just skillful influence for unfair reasons. That's what it is. It's someone that works at maneuvering people to get what they want. So, and manipulators can be they can be very, very patient. They can be very, very strategic. They have a wisdom, but it's not a godly wisdom. They are moving people and moving things, and they can make it look like it's for everybody else, but it's for themselves. So watch manipulation with your tongue. Watch lying with your tongue. Watch flattering with your tongue. Number four, the Bible mentions a hasty tongue, having a hasty tongue. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 20, it says this, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." So God tells us our tongue can get hasty. And I think we all understand this. Boy, the old tongue can take off and say things before the brain's even kicked in gear. And the old tongue can take off and say things before wisdom even has a moment to calculate. The old tongue will take off and run and start saying things, and your common sense is way back there saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! Wait on me! Wait on me! Wait on me!" And the old tongues are running like a dog after a pork chop, and that old tongue's going to go get him something. And your mind and your heart and the Spirit of God saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! Hold on, hold on, hold on!" But it's hasty, and God calls it he talks about people using hasty words. I think when we are hasty with our words, I think we can be very, very offensive. If I take the time to calculate what's going to come out of my mouth, I'm less apt to offend. When I just let my mouth run like a motor, I'm going to say something that I should not say. Say, well, I'm just the kind of person who will just tell you what's on my mind. You're an idiot. You should never say everything that's on your mind. So I'm just going to tell you what's in my heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked. You're supposed to control yourself at times. Put a sock in it. And there are people out there, they think that's independence and strength because they'll just say whatever. No, strength is controlling yourself. It's not letting yourself run wild. So, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? And the Bible says this. It says, there is more hope of a fool than of him. In other words, the Bible says there's a wise person. Then down the ladder of success is the simple person. Then down at the bottom rung of the ladder of success is the foolish person. And God said, people that shoot off at the mouth hastily, they're lower than the fool in regard to their behavior. Let me read it again. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The tongue can be very, very destructive. I think we respond in haste. And then if we're not careful, we offend in haste. I think that then we're committing trespass with our words, but we did it in haste. We've got to learn to control our mouths. The Bible says that they put a bit in the horse's mouth. Do you know that if that bit is in the horse's mouth, you can pull back on it and you can keep that horse from taking off? It's not hard to keep a horse from running wild. You say, I'm going to throw myself in front of the horse and I'll grab him and take him down. All you got to do is pull back on the reins very gently, control his mouth, and you'll be okay. So God tells us to control the tongue. I'm going to teach you something. I think everybody here knows it. But just in case you don't, I want to teach the obvious. Think before you talk. Think before you talk. I'll make it a little more complicated. Think biblically before you talk, or think spiritually before you talk. Haste usually is harsh. Haste often is rude. Haste comes across as hatefulness. So, your tongue, my tongue, I should be careful that it's not hasty. We should make sure that we're not manipulative with our tongue. We should make sure that we are not flattering with our tongue. That's insincere praise. We should make sure that we're not lying with our tongue. Now, let me go on to another. Number five. The Bible talks to us about being peacemakers. I'm going to call this one having a divisive tongue. A divisive tongue. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9, it said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, the word blessed so often in the Bible, that's just not a fluffy Bible word. The word blessed, it gets part of its definition is happy, joyous, spiritually fulfilled. So it's saying here, joyous are the peacemakers. We should not be divisive with our tongues. In other words, I ought to want to be a peacemaker with my words. Because God said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I think I'll be blessed if I use my tongue in a non-divisive way. I think I'll be blessed. But I'll tell you what else. I think the person that I'm speaking to will be blessed. I think the people that I'm speaking about would be blessed. I think my church would be a better place if I were not divisive with my tongue. So we're to be peacemakers. We're not to be peace breakers We're to be peacemakers. I don't know if you could picture a great big tongue coming in between two people. But I almost sometimes think, the tongue, the Bible said it's a little thing, but it just does big, big hurts. A divisive tongue hurts people. A divisive tongue hurts marriages. A divisive tongue hurts churches. Hey, a divisive tongue hurts relationships. We ought to work harder at trying to help things and people to get along instead of creating chaos among people. Sometimes people just say things and they don't think about how that's going to affect the people involved. And they just don't understand how divisive the tongue can be. So, if you were listening, God said that the tongue, why can't we tame it? We can tame wild beasts. We ought to be able to contain tame our tongue. It's little, but it creates big problems. It's set on fire of hell. It is like a serpent. It's full of deadly poison. And that's because we lie with our tongue. That's because we flatter with our tongue. That's because we can be manipulative with our tongue. We can be hasty with our tongue. And then we can be divisive with our tongue. Yet another. I'm going to call this the arguing tongue. The arguing tongue. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 3, it says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." So God said here, we should cease from strife. That word strife, it does have some physical connotation in how you hold your body and body language. But basically, what strife here is talking about tension. And to a large degree, it is talking about word tension and attitude tension. Of course, attitude tension is most frequently expressed with word tension. Word tension is expressed with the mouth. In this day and age, word tension is expressed in texting. In this day and age, word tension is expressed on Facebook. In this day and age, word tension is expressed in email. Word tension can be expressed in a letter, handwritten. I have a policy about letters. If I ever write a letter that seems to be hot, you know, I'm just going to give somebody a piece of my mind. And I stopped doing that because I had so little mind left. I didn't want to give any of it away. But I have a policy. I will not send out a letter immediately. I do that with texts. I do that with letters. I do that with emails. If I've got something I want to say and it seems strong, I will not send it immediately. I'll settle on it a couple of days. And you know what happens? I don't send it. I come to my senses. The Spirit takes over, and I don't send it. Matter of fact, you won't find a letter from me to anyone that was written in anger or hatred or haste. I don't do it. You say, "Ever write them?" Sure. But then I don't send them because I come to my senses. So I want you to understand this thing of arguing. There's tension in it. There's physical tension. There's emotional tension. There's word tension. And folks, fussing and fighting and arguing is not what Christians are supposed to do. Husbands and wives are not supposed to be acting that way. Parents, you young people, you should not be fussing and being angry and arguing with your parents. That's not how we're supposed to use our tongue. Let me read another verse to you. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 14, the Bible says, "The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with." God said, boy, you want to get that contention out of there as quickly as you possibly can. And God said that strife, you know, when it begins, bring it to an end and don't let contention multiply and don't let it build up. I think this is true. It really only takes one person to end an argument. It just takes one to end the argument. But people, it's somebody's got to get the last word in. They've got to make sure that they make their point. You know, and there wouldn't be anything wrong with it if the attitude had not escalated to yelling, screaming, cussing, throwing things. What is it, age two, Mrs. Hollinger? They call it the terrible twos and the temper tantrums. I think they have the terrible 20s and 30s and 40s. Let me tell you something. If your children watch you act like that, don't be shocked if they don't act like you. Of course, you'll punish them for it. You'll say, grow up. You're not to act that way. So God said, get rid of that contention. That shouldn't be there. And so the arguing tongue, I think just anything could be discussed, but it doesn't have to be discussed with hatred and malice and meanness and yelling and screaming. And you say, and I've had more than one person say this to me. I've tried to help a lot of marriages in my day, and I've had them say, "Listen, Brother Owens, I grew up in a home, and that's just how it was. Everybody would yell and scream at each other all the time." And then I simply said this to him. I said, "Then I guess it's time for that to stop, so the next generation doesn't use that as an excuse." And if you obviously see it, then you're aware of it. The holdup is not that you're not understanding, you're just not doing anything about it. So, the arguing tongue. So, watch your tongue. And the Bible compares it to a beast, a savage, out of control beast, deadly poison, set on fire of hell. God never said that about murder. God never said that about even some of the other sins that you all would just be disgusted with. But God said your tongue gets out of control and it hurts people. So don't have a lying tongue. Let's not have a flattering tongue. Let's not have a manipulating tongue or a hasty tongue or a divisive tongue or an arguing tongue. Let me give you a couple more. Is the humidity high? Or is the sermon got a lot of pressure to it here? I'm trying to figure out, is your head feeling like it's going to explode? Okay, let me move on. Next, number seven, a boasting tongue. A boasting tongue. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 2 says this, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips." So here God is talking about, this of course has its roots very deeply in pride. And remember, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay, so God's talking about boasting. He's talking about us praising ourselves. And if pride goes before destruction, it's no wonder the tongue is included in a lesson on destructive behavior. Let me read it again in Proverbs 27:2. "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." God said, you're better off letting somebody don't even know you praise you than to have you praise you. Let's make sure that our mouths are not full of pride. Let's make sure that we are not, our mouths are not full of arrogance in regard to ourselves. Ask yourself this question. Do you spend most of your time promoting you, or do you spend most of your time promoting someone else? What would happen if every husband was out to consciously, sincerely, and rightfully praise and promote his wife? And what would happen if every wife was out to consciously, sincerely, and properly, if she were to praise her husband? What would happen? What would happen if people would use the tool of praise properly? And what would happen if we were not so arrogant? You know, you say, well, I wish somebody would praise me more. Well, maybe you praise you enough that they think you don't need any more. I think the reason why people tear others down is often because they want to lift themselves up. When you find something wrong with me, then you can criticize me, and for that moment it makes you look good. Because you would be basically saying, I see you're bad, and I'm not doing that bad right now, look at me. And that's pride. Be careful. Be careful of boasting. Be careful of bragging. I was very pleased. I received a text the other day from a staff member from a church, and I won't mention the staff member, I won't mention the church, but I was just tickled to death. That staff member, there was a very successful occurrence in a local Baptist New Testament church. Staff member sent me a text praising the pastor. It wasn't the pastor that sent me the text praising the pastor. It was a staff member that said, our pastor led us to this, and this happened. And I just thank God that God used our pastor. And I just loved it. Because the staff member wasn't trying to get any attention for themselves. They were just talking about the success of the leader. And the leader was not talking about the leader's necessarily the success. I thought that was just fantastic. Folks, you know, I guess God wants us to help and lift up others. And do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, he said this, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Look, let's just lift up Jesus. And if we're going to praise, let's praise other people, but be very, very careful taking too much time letting everybody know how good you are or all of what you are. And so, God tells us, watch the lying tongue. God tells us, watch the flattering tongue. Watch the manipulating tongue. Watch the hasty tongue or the divisive tongue or the arguing tongue, the boasting tongue. I'll give you one more. And we'll be done tonight. Then we'll look at about this many more ways God describes the tongue next week. The slandering tongue. The slandering tongue. And God uses the word slander in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 18, it says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." Now, God says that when we slander, we're behaving like a fool. That is, making malicious, false, or even sometimes truth statements about others with the intent to damage or to hurt them. I had someone say to me once, they said, "Pastor, what I was doing, I was not gossiping, because what I was saying about that other person, it was true." Now, do you know there are some true things about other people that you need not repeat? You say, "Well, I don't like your style of pastoring." I tell you what then. How about God tell us the truth about you? How about He reveal everything about you to the rest of us? You say, "Well, I don't want that." Then you don't believe what you just calculated in your brain was right. No, God doesn't go around and tell everybody everything about everybody. Young people, there are certain things that happen at home that probably ought to stay at home. You don't have to tell everybody what happened. Parents all saying, "That is very true." Hit that again, preacher. But look, slander is when, you know, and slander has its roots in evil. So someone's out to destroy, someone's out to damage someone's reputation or damage someone's character or damage someone's name. Folks, don't let your heart get so far away from God that your tongue is out to destroy. I could not tell you how often, and I mean, I am sure of this without any shadow of a doubt. Once every 2 weeks of my life, for years and years and years, we'll find that someone made a mistake. They sinned. They did wrong. And this is what I always have to say to someone. Listen, we'll deal with it. But don't talk about it. We'll work on that. But don't talk about it. You don't have to tell everybody about it. You don't have to tell everybody what you saw. We'll deal with it. But why do you have to tell everybody? And, you know, here's what, you know, we think, "Well, I want to tell everybody because I'm a champion for the truth." Well, then do you tell on yourself? You know, I'll never forget. I was overseeing the demerit department. When I was vice president of my alma mater, I overseen many, 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 many departments, and I overseen the discipline committee. And we had a student come in one day, and he said, Dr. Owens, I got these demerits. I got these 5 demerits, and I did not deserve them. And it's unfair, and it's unjust. And he got really huffy with me. And I'm not the one that gave him the demerits. He came in to tell me. He said, I got these. It's unfair. I want you to understand. I got these 5 demerits. They need to be taken off my record. And I insist for the sake of justice that they're taken off. I said, I'm glad to work with you. I said, you are really a proponent of honesty and the truth, aren't you? He said, I am. I said, have you broken any of our college rules in the last 3 years that you have not told us about? I said, because being a proponent of justice and the truth like you are, I think it'd only be reasonable that we just go ahead and come clean. I pulled out the handbook. It's about that thick. I said, let's go through these one at a time because I certainly want to help you to keep your reputation good with me. Because somehow you got 5 demerits you didn't deserve. Now let's go through and give you all the ones that you did deserve that you've not received. He said, you know what, Brother Owens? How about I just take these 5 demerits and leave them on my record and we call it even? I said, you got a deal, buddy. He walked out. I'm amazed. I'm just amazed at people's sense of justice for themselves, so self-centered, me, mine, I, treat me right, but it doesn't matter how you treat anybody else. Don't talk bad about me, but it doesn't matter if you talk bad about somebody else. Don't yell at me, but you can yell at other people. Oh, the tongue, my. So slander is making malicious, false, or malicious, true statements with intent to harm. Now, somebody does something stupid, they sin, which they should not. Well, you know, it can be discussed and you can work on it and you want to help them. The goal is never to destroy people. That was never, God doesn't want you and I destroying each other. He wants us to fight the devil, fight the sin, hate the sin, love the sinner, and do what we can to salvage people. Slandering is very, very evil. Let me read to you from Psalm chapter 15, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says this, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Notice here that the heart is connected with the tongue. You know, the book of Luke says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you have in your heart in abundance is what will come out of your mouth. Are you hateful with your mouth? You have a hateful heart? Are you destructive? Is your mouth destructive? Do you have a destructive heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You might want to be careful what you let come out of your mouth. You're letting us see what's in your heart. I think the greatest challenge of my ministry has been my mouth. I, controlling the pride, I could not, and I have no idea. I wish there were a way for me to calculate how many people I have counseled through the years. I know you'll think this is an exaggeration, but there's been hundreds of thousands. And there are people that I counsel with, and they say things. You want to know something? In my office, there is a confidentiality, and I want to guard that. I want people's private life to stay private. I think that's extremely important. I've just been told this over and over and over again. Pastor, it's almost impossible to find someone to counsel with because you go in and you talk to them and they blabber their mouth and tell everybody everything that they know. That's sad. That is very, very sad. Learning to control the mouth is one of the challenges of life. You will face it again tomorrow. And let me warn you, and I'll be done. Let me warn you. If you have a friend and the two of you talk, hey, husbands and wives, family, friends, you talk. And this friend talks to this friend, and they talk bad about other people. Can I explain something to you? If she will talk bad to you about me, she will talk bad to me about you. So, no, I have more character than that. I attack with control. No, I'm sorry. Two people spend their time, they're tight. We're just so close. We can slander and we can criticize and we can do that because we're close. That's not closeness. That's not true friendship. Listen, my friends, I want them to know that I know. I don't gossip to my friends. I have to work at that. I have to make myself do that. There are some preachers in fundamentalism that I don't know any way to say it other than they just can't keep their mouth shut. They talk too much. They say things about their church members that they should never be saying publicly. I wonder how many times I've gone and preached at a conference and preachers, they want to go out and get a bite to eat and go down to Denny's and get breakfast at 11 o'clock at night, and they'll sit at the table and they want to talk bad about other preachers. I just won't go to the meal. I'll go to the hotel and eat my free cookie because I don't want to sit there and be a part of that. See, here's the danger. Mouths need ears. You know, unless you got a loose bolt in your head, you probably don't go around talking bad by yourself about other people. Now, if you do that all day long, you need to see someone about it. Maybe you could be on Dr. Phil. But criticizing mouths need ears. And so I'm very careful not to lend an ear to the attack. And again, boy, if somebody does something dumb or stupid and they need help and the pastor goes to helping, you help. But you don't. It's not something you're supposed to spend all your time talking about. So, in James chapter 3, we get the lesson. It's about the tongue. God said it's set on fire of hell. He says to us, don't lie with your tongue. Don't flatter with your tongue. Don't manipulate with your tongue. Don't be hasty with your tongue. Don't be divisive with your tongue. Don't argue with your tongue. Don't boast or be prideful with your tongue. And don't slander. If we would do those things, we would be far happier. And we would destroy far less. My respect for the media is at an all-time low. They are destructive with their words, manipulative, argumentative, liars. It's sad. It's sad. Thank God we've got a book that's true. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, I want to welcome you to the Savior. If you need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be born again then. If you're here tonight and God's spoken to your heart, usually when you teach on criticism and the tongue, it hits us all. It hits us all. But who here tonight, and I'm going to bow my head and I'm going to close my eyes. Who here tonight, and my head is bowed and my eyes are closed. Who here tonight would say, God, I need to watch this. I've got to make sure I use my tongue right. I've got to be sure that I'm not a critical person. Help me, Lord, to use my tongue right. Who here would say, God, you've spoken to my heart in the teaching tonight. Would you let God see your hand? And you can put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment, you come. Maybe somewhere in the sermon tonight, God spoke to your heart. I hope that He did. Rachel, if you'll play something for us, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Remember, if they'll criticize with you about someone, they'll criticize to someone about you. Sin knows no boundaries. Don't lie. Don't flatter. Don't manipulate. Don't be hasty. Don't be divisive. Don't be argumentative. Don't be boastful or prideful. Don't be slandering. What powerful, powerful words. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Ushers, if you'll have the prayer sheets ready. Thank you, Rachel.